This is episode 143 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con and InkWhiskey.com.
So you already went metal detecting this week.
I did. There's yes, my other nerd hobby beyond comics is
nerd hobby. I think it's old man hobby.
Whatever. It's a nerd hobby. You're gonna think it's awesome when I find an Action Comics number one buried in the ground
because the staples on it are just gonna be the only metal. If that ever fucking happened in any universe, holy shit, I would.
Well, you know what would be awesome though is like if I ever did find like a time capsule type thing.
That'd actually be kind of cool.
There are problems with it because of the way that we metal detect. Like it's like, oh, that's the size of a hubcap. I'm not digging it up. Like you can tell that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think unless we were specifically looking for somebody's time capsule, I don't think we would probably dig one up.
Have you ever thought about actually burying one now and then someday when you our grandpa have your kids go metal detecting, you know, on the spot, or grandkids or whatever. Or actually, you might not reproduce. So someone's kids and have them dig it up and find, like, I don't know, some sort of comic number one that you think might be worth it.
No, because I wouldn't want to share it with them. Screw those little bastards. That's my shit.
Well, I know what I'm doing with my nephew now.
Yeah.
Write some predictions or something. Actually, no, I'm gonna say I buried it, but I'm gonna bury it like yesterday, but with predictions of the past 10 years, and be like, "Holy shit, I was right! This happened, and this happened, and this happened."
That would be dumb.
No, it wouldn't. Scare the shit out of the kid.
Yeah, or what'd be more fun is like when he gets a little bit bigger, you know, just like put like put some metal jewelry on your niece. And then go bury her and have him have to find her. So, all right, guys. Well, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Or how to bury a niece in the ground.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, like, put her in a box with like, you know, some air.
Because I've seen how that always happens in movies.
Yeah. It always works out well. You know, she won't have any issues growing up later.
She becomes like in Kill Bill.
What are you doing?
The when she's punching the
oh, the 1-inch punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like
to get out.
I thought you were doing some little fish swimming motion with your hand. I'm like what is this swimmy looking thing you're doing? But oh, you remember a while back we were talking about like the shoes from Back to the Future?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, you'd had, like, a little trigger inside that you just push with your toe. And I said, I wonder how many people, like, just move their toe like they're pushing a trigger. Yeah, apparently there are a few. It was kind of cool to get some feedback. People going, yeah, you're an asshole because I caught myself doing it. And then
the best is like, the psychological things that you can do to yourself, like, to trick yourself into believing stuff. Like the taste buds are one that just fucking amazing. Like you can really taste salt on your tongue as if you're pouring salt, like just taking the salt shaker and just you pour it in your mouth, you just pour it on, just like open your mouth, stick out your tongue,
yep.
And just like pour the salt in your mouth and your mind will make you think.
Tony, you might have tasted something salty on your tongue, but I don't think it was imaginary salt.
I'll never forget the first time I ever heard that, and I'm just hearing people, and I'm like, I didn't do it myself, but I'm like, in my head, imagining what they're, that's funny, seeing people yeah. Driving down the road doing that.
All right, well, let's get things kicked off here, because I know we've got a ton of news to talk about.
Well, sure, yeah, we shouldn't have rambled on with other bullshit in the beginning as much as we did.
Oh, look like that's going to stop us anyway, but, well, guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics. My name is Derek.
My name is Tony.
And we're going to talk about some of our favorite books that came out this week. We've got a ton of news to talk about, and we'll probably get off on other random topics, I'm sure, because shit like that happens. But I'm going to kick things off here this week, and I'm going back to the well with Thor, number 6. And I can't help it.
Did they finally reveal?
No.
Are you still pissed?
Okay, here's... I've kind of had a switch. Let me give a little credit here first. Jason Aaron's writing this. Russell Dauterman is back on art. Matthew Wilson is doing the colors. And I got the Stephanie Hans variant cover, the Women of Thor, or Women of Thor, the Women of Marvel, okay. You know, that they're doing, highlighting female artists in there. And this one, for people that don't know, because I know we're getting new listeners all the time. There's people that are you know, just picking things up and brand new to comics too. That the Thor that we know, Thor Odinson, is no longer able to carry Mjolnir, his hammer, and a new woman has come along and is able to. Now she's disguised. She has like a helmet mask thing on, so you can't see her face, and it's kind of driving everybody nuts as to who she is. It's been pissing me off a lot.
I hope they never reveal who the hell it was.
Well, so now this issue, mind you, I should say, this issue really doesn't deal with her very much. It's actually a lot of Odinson, where, you know, the original Thor.
Yeah, how much of the series, because I haven't read this series of Thor yet, how much has it been of her and following her and then Odinson?
The majority has been her. It's all been centering around her, where you have been following him or his mother or father. It's a lot of it is trying to figure out who this woman is. Now you also have the Agar guy, you know, from Roxanne Island, who he turns into a Minotaur.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of him with Malekith in here, and the two of them are coming to an agreement. Basically, Roxanne is now going to be able to drill for oil on all the planets that Malekith has, and in return, so basically he gets all their mineral rights, and then he's giving the Frost Giant skull back to.
At least they're getting oil, not unobtainium.
Yeah, yeah,
something useful.
Yeah, yeah, God, that one still irritates me so bad. But a couple things on this one. This book opens up, and you kind of hear how this guy became a Minotaur and was able to do that. You find out that there was an island that he was on. These pirates attacked when he was just a small boy, and he went into a cave and he prayed. And apparently, he prayed to some demon god type thing. And so now he's, you know, basically sold his soul in order to have that power because he wanted to be able to fight. Well, he killed these pirates as a child, but he didn't actually kill them totally. Because now he has their heads still alive in a little showroom attached to like shit that keeps them alive. And they're just going, please kill me. Like, I mean, so he's a full grown adult now. He looks like he's like 8 then. So probably for a couple decades, these people have just been sitting there, and every head that's there, there's just tears streaming from their eyes.
So he's doing it just to be sick, or do they have some purpose, like they have knowledge that he wants from them?
No, that's their punishment.
Damn.
For killing his family.
That's pretty sadistic.
And that's one of the things that I've actually enjoyed about this book is that it is a little bit darker than your standard Marvel comic. I mean, when you have Malekith walking around still carrying Thor's fucking arm in that issue a few issues back, to this, you know, having, you know, severed heads that are kept alive just because he's that angry of a man. I mean, seeing this kind of stuff, it does bring a little bit better of a level of culpability to a comic that you don't always see because, oh, bad guys got caught or they're beaten and off the jail, you know, and then it's new bad guy. Oh, we solved that one. There's a lot of shit in here that I like because it seems to just be hanging on and things aren't getting better really for any of these people except for new Thor. She seems to be the only one that's really doing well in this, and she's learning more and more of her powers. Where I, you know, Thor is still trying to figure out who this the new replacement Thor is for him. And he goes and sees Jane Foster. Well, Jane is suffering from cancer, and she's going through chemo, and even though, like, you know, the doctors on Midgard, or not on Midgard, but on
Asgard.
Asgard, thank you. I kept wanting to say Azeroth, and I'm like, what? No, the doctors on Asgard, they want to use magic, but she won't let them. And so he crosses her off the list.
Okay, because I was going to say that was a big one that people have been speculating, they thought.
Now, here's the thing. When issue one came out, everybody went, is this Thor's mother Freya? And, but that seemed a little too on the nose. And so now the question is this another red herring with Jane Foster going, well, there she is. She has cancer, but you know what? If she could pick up that hammer, who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's almost like, here's where I'm starting to like it. Here's where I'm starting to get happy that they pissed me off this much. Because now I'm like going, ha-ha, I'm not falling for your tricks. And I'm like, but what if it is? What? It could be. And I'm like, Jason Aaron, you're a jerk. But I'm enjoying it. And now I'm kind of like you. I'm almost to the point, I don't know if I want to know. Like, I don't know if I want it to be revealed. It's almost better not knowing now who it is. And we're 6 issues in. An issue ago, I'm like, motherfucker, you better tell me who it is. Now I'm like, eh.
That's what I was thinking. You're going to drop it if they didn't reveal it soon. You're kind of like, all right, no more of this. I can't wrap my head around it. I am done.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just been one of these things where, like, I'm really, really enjoying. And you've got Thor getting really pissed with Coulson, like, you know, trying to trying to get him to take her to seal, take him to see Rosalind Solomon because he wants to see if she might be Thor, you know, all these other people. But it's great because Thor has his goat on Coulson's little ship, and beautiful writing here because it's definitely has Coulson's voice where Aaron has him saying, pretty sure there are no goats allowed in here. And Thor asks the goat not to eat Agent Coulson. But, this has just been a really fun book. Russell Dauterman's been doing amazing things with the art. And, you know, just the full page splash of the new Thor near the back of the book with the bullets bouncing off of her. And she's like, that tickles a little bit, you know, just thinking internally. I've enjoyed this because there's something about her. She is very regal. She is, you know, she has that air of royalty about her in how she carries herself. And I like that in the character. It's drawn well. It's written well.
You may have mentioned it, and I was just not paying attention to you like normal, but did they show a list in here, or he just said?
Yeah, he's got a little list. Like, Lady Sif was on it, you know, his mother was on it.
Did it, like, show some other people that he hasn't crossed off yet that you kind of guess? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, so you show me this list, so there's names on this list. So it's going to be no one on this list because they don't want to mention it's on the list. So then you got to deduce who's not on this list.
It's Jean Grey. That's how they're bringing her back. now it's interesting, though, because in previous issues, Odin sent his brother Hel, has made him like the minister of war, and he wants to find out who this new woman is. So Hel sends somebody out after her. And I'm not going to give away who it is in the end of the book, but I was kind of like, oh, well, this will be fun. So I think the next issue is going to be a pretty big
battle,
pretty big brawl, which will be very fun to see now what our new Thor, what she can do with her, her powers and how she's going to handle a battle like that. So really fun book. Again, I've been, it's been irritating, but I'm loving it. And, yeah, I'm in. I'm going to keep reading. So, Tony, what did you pick up this week?
I got a most excellent book. Something that spans time and space. And I can't really think of any other, I don't know, things, analogies to whatever. Bill and Ted's Most Triumphant Return. Written by Brian Lynch. Well, I should say first, there's actually two stories in here as well. So the main... Bill and Ted story that's going to be continuation of this comic. Written by Brian Lynch, pencils by Jerry Gaylord, inks by Jerry and Penelope, colors by Whitney Kogar, and letters by Jill Campbell. And then the other story, which was equally excellent, is Bill and Ted and the Bogus Virus, written by Ryan North, illustrated by Ian McGinnity, and colors by Fred Stressing. Now, one of the things, the first dialogue box says 5 seconds after the San Dimas battle of the band's 1991, little asterisk mark. First I go, holy fuck, 1991, no way is that when the movie came out. Okay. Google it, yes, that's when it did.
This is a Boom Studios book too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The only reason I ask, and now... I had to clarify, even though I was 99% positive, because I'm a little jealous of you, I have to say, before we get into this. My comic ran out of this before I got there at like, noon. Like, it just flew off the shelves. Apparently, there's been a hankering for this book. But, yeah, it flew off the shelves. So I'm like, damn it, because Jerry Gaylord on art, I'm in, guaranteed, and with that. But... I guess there was another Bill and Ted book coming out this week or next week or something too, from like DC or something like that. That's really? like that. This is what I heard. So I forgive me because I drink and choose not to research shit sometimes before I talk about it. So anyway, keep going.
All right. So this that's the first little thing, and as I was saying, I can't believe that's 25 fucking years ago that the movie came out. Like, holy shit, studios, get it together. Let's have that third movie already. But what I like about this is that it does pick up right afterwards. There's giant, kind of scene here with stations, with death, with everything. But within that little, and I know I'm just going off of this small little word box of right after the Battle of Bands with a little asterisk mark, but you go down to where you see the editor's notes. Right after they set up the key and the gun. Remember that? In the they had to go back in their universe. Anything can happen as long as they say, we got to remember to go back and do this and set this here. And then they do it. Like in the first one, we got to remember to send a fax to us that says duck. And then they duck when they're in their dad's police precinct thing.
Yeah.
Put the key here. So that just made me fucking start dying laughing. Like, I love that that's how their time travel world works, that anything can happen as long as you just say, we got to go back in time and make sure this happens and drop it here. And with that, kind of goes into part of the story where they just did the song, they just did the Battle of Bands, now what? They have a big number one hit, now everyone's wondering, when's the number two hit going to happen? And the third and the fourth. Denomalous, who was the bad guy within the movie, you see him getting captured by the police. Rufus comes and decides to take him back to the future. And yeah, and that, it's,
that just makes me like happy, just because he's dead.
Well, that's at least death is there with them too. So you'd be like, hey guys, having death, the stations, the un-evil robots now, or the good us's. Makes for and the princesses makes for this like quirky, there's a lot of stuff going on that they can tackle, and besides the time travel, they're just trying to figure out what's their next big hit going to be. Where the story seems to be taking place and where it's going to be heading towards is the future, when all of a sudden people that are doing Bill and Ted History 101 take a time machine booth back in time to them, to their apartment, and they're having a class, you know, field trip. And the guys are like, hey, guys, you know, it's really not cool if you're here. You know, I mean, it's most excellent, but whatever. The dialogue is so on point to what they were in the movies that you are reading this in your head as their voices.
Yeah.
And you're just like, me as a normal human would not be saying these words, but to read it on the page, it's like, that is totally what they would say and what they would do. And the next thing that they are thinking is where they're going to go. Sure, why not go to the future and take Bill and Ted's History 101 so they know what their next song is going to be? And I'm like, that's genius. But they're saying, I guess they don't have a time machine anymore, what it was seeming like, otherwise they would have just done this. But they're like, well, we still have the stations. We should tell the stations to build us a time machine. And then once they build it, we need to go back in time and tell them to start building it right after the Battle of Bands so that it's done now. And then all of a sudden, next scene, it shows them finishing the time machine. It's that sort of quirkiness that I'm like, oh, man, they can do anything they want in this. Mainly, they end up in the future, and that's where it's going to be going, where they discover someone that they're like, holy shit, did not think this is where it was going to go. So in the future as well, just seeing how this future is painted with be excellent, you know, don't be bogus, all these rad words from the 90s, like
Santima's football rules.
Yes. Made for a good story. And then there's the secondary story with the viruses, which had to do with the evil, well, the good us, robot us's, just talking to Bill and Ted, and you see through them like a Terminator, like a RoboCop type screen of be good, how to respond, rad high five, be excellent, most bodacious, something. And then all of a sudden, one of them gets an email with an attachment that said they won their Nigerian uncle prince left them $100,000 worth of guitars. And so open the attachment, which I'm just like, that's awesome. But they go, I got an email. Bill and Ted are like, what's an email? And you're remembering, holy shit, this is 1991. There was no email. I'm loving this little, you know, nuances of the writing from back in the past with knowing stuff now. And even in this last little story, too, there was little along the edges of the comic, the writer.
Like in the gutters?
Yeah. The writer kind of wrote some small little funny things, like, of the verse. Also wrote, like, in this story, they go to 2015, so their future, our present, to pretty much once they downloaded this virus, they became evil counterparts again.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much going to give this story away, but just it works so well that they go to this, like, Apple kind of store, knockoff store, to try to get software, you know, upgrades for them to remove the virus. And this chick, we, us nowadays in this world, we don't know how to fucking build robots. She's kind of like, I have no clue how this is done. And instead of ones and zeros, their computer programs are made up of Bills and Teds. Like, that's their computer writing. And so then they actually have an amazing idea of, all right, you have to go back to your old ways if we beat you, because they're like, we beat death in a game. Maybe we can beat our robots, us's, and, you know, and turn them back. So we're going to play you in a game, and if we win that, oh, and then they're thinking, what game could they beat them at, you know, versus a computer? Chess. The trick at the store goes, no. Checkers? No. And they kept going down all these things. It's like, finally the chick, she goes, this one's free for you guys. I bet you that Bill and Ted can beat you at the game of rewiring yourselves and removing that virus. Which, the robots then do that, and they become good again, and although I gave it away, that thinking, that way that they are, is what makes this comic book so fucking hilarious. It is a must-buy for anyone, and I hope they have some more of these small stories of some of the other characters beyond just the main run of what's going on with their story and what's going on next, because it's I don't know, it's just excellent, and I can't stop using that fucking word now because of this, but...
Nice. That's, yeah. I've been been looking forward to this one, and it's the one thing that I will say, like, I didn't get my copy yet. My shop has it. The one thing that that I really liked was on the because I saw that I got the preview pages, just the cassette tape.
Oh yeah,
you know, with you know, the Wild Stallions, our first song, you know.
And it even has, like, their positions they played.
Yeah.
Like, but, Death on stand-up bass and Stations on drums. And
yeah, this is and I tell you what, man, it's awesome seeing art from Jerry Gaylord again. Like, I fucking love his style. You know, I don't know how to properly describe it, because it's, you know, it's, I think, like, when I originally said, it's almost like a combination of, like, anime and old school Saturday morning cartoons. Mm-hmm. Like, grew up, got drunk, and had a kid, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, it's,
well, that's what, and that, so there was a, I believe, yeah, there was a Bill and Ted's cartoon, and the art, for me at least my memory served me correctly, kind of reminds me of that. So it, like, it takes on that nostalgia feel of, this is how I feel a comic book of Bill and Ted should be drawn. So I think it's...
Well, you know, Jerry's always done such a great job at being able to elicit emotion, especially fun, happy emotion from characters in a way that a lot of other people can't. So, you know, I think with this just being that kind of a fun story anyway, which Bill and Ted's always is, I think that's about as good as you can. That and being able to draw, like, bewildered, confusing looks and all that, because Bill and Ted aren't necessarily the brightest guys in the world. And I'm looking forward to seeing this. Like I said, I saw some of the preview pages.
I'm looking forward to, now that they're in the future, them going to the Sam Demas World Comic Con convention and having the best, most raddest, excellent podcasters, Drunk on Comics, who have taken over the podcast world.
Yeah, so like in the future, what you're saying is that everything will have been shaped by the music of Wild Stallions and the ear pleasing podcasting of Drunk on Comics.
Yes,
yeah,
that's all podcasting will be then. People just drinking some drinks and reading some comics, and
it's all following the Drunk on Comics logic.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, does that mean everybody's going to make up words like you do?
The future is full of new words.
Yeah, it's full of something. all right, cool. Well, I think that's going to do it. Wrap it up here for us. And by the way, Off the Shelf this week is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. We'll kind of talk a little bit about that. They're still adding people to their guest list that they're announcing, which is insane. Did you see from a media set? I'm super excited because Robert Englund is going to be there, the guy that played Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the guy that played Jason that was in the Freddy versus Jason?
He's going to be there?
Is now going to be there?
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's just, it's really, really cool. And I mean, like, yeah, we're going to, I think, Tony, at some point, we're just going to have to sit and do a little recap of everyone that's going to be at Motor City this year. That's not us. I mean, because it's important that people come see us.
Well, it's important to let the smaller guys, you know, coming out in this world to get a little recognition.
Yeah,
people, I mean, may not know them.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it should be that way. You know, for like people from The Walking Dead, that little show.
Yeah, I mean, we should use our universal, well-renowned fame to help out them.
That's why in the future, Drunk on Comics is going to be, like, you know, the one podcast that everyone listens to.
That's going to be our new thing now.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some news here. I'm going to start with the news that I'm most excited about. Is that, and this I got from IGN, is that the old animated series, X-Men animated series that I so dearly love, for all its flaws, you know, there's a new digital comic book that's going to be picking up where the animated series left off. And that series ran from 92 to 97. And so this book is going to be called X-Men 92, which I'm really interested in this.
Do you remember how it ended, the TV show?
I don't remember what the last one was, no.
For for the life of me, I've been trying to think of how did that end? Like, it kind of just ended with, you know, the Battle of the Week. Like, but yeah. I thought there was an overall story arc. Like, was Jean Grey dead then, still, maybe, maybe resurrected? I know there's a point where Morph came back a little bit towards the end in Sinister, but I can't really remember, but I can't wait to find out what I forgot.
I have every episode of that show. So I can, I'll bring it over sometime. We'll sit and get drunk and pick out a couple special ones. I also actually have, someplace I've got it. I have the original X-Men cartoon that was where they went to space and Kitty Pryde finds Lockheed, her little dragon.
Okay, yeah.
And it's I don't remember all what's in it, but Wolverine has an Australian accent, which doesn't make any sense, but he's Australian in that one. So
closest they could get to having a Canadian actor, voice actor. I don't know.
I don't know. I think there should be an apology and really that they need to just say they're sorry. So, but, yeah, anyway, you guys can, check that kind of stuff out. Just a quick little note. It's going to be, written by Chris Sims and Chad Bowers and Scott Koblish, who Tony, you probably know from, some Deadpool stuff. He's going to be doing artwork on it.
Excellent.
So,
excellent's gonna be my new fucking word. I'm so excited, but whatever that I read that comic. Star Wars Rogue One is the new official spinoff movie, and it's announced for December 2016. Like, seriously, we're gonna have a Star Wars movie at the end of this year, and then another one at that end of next year. And from what I've heard, it's supposed to be every year that we're gonna get one, which that's more ambitious than what Marvel has done with their movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's... now, for people that aren't familiar, Rogue One is the kind of call sign that the leader of the X-Wing, that one group of X-Wing pilots takes. Luke has had it. I think Biggs had it, you know, for that. So, it's... for people that really like the X-Wing part of it, I think that might be cool because I would expect that there's going to be some pretty cool X-Wing dogfights in there.
Well, that's the thing, too. It will explore more than just the Jedis. Like, I'm sure they'll have a Jedi cameo or something, or they'll name drop one of the other, you know, actors, stars' names from the other movies. But probably these are going to be standalone, self-contained, maybe a little bit of crossover appeal, but that they are expanding this universe in a visual, setting on the screen. I haven't seen anything like it since the Avengers, but the Avengers is something totally different than this and how they're, I don't know, I'm just happy with what they have. And I found one cool little news article just a second ago while doing some research that Marvel's having a Star Wars event coming in September. No one really knows what it's about, but it's a comic book event. And pretty much the teaser thing that they've come out with, it says Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, all new Marvel Comics event series, September 2015. So people are speculating maybe this might be what bridges the gap between the last movie and this new movie in comic book form, which I'm okay with that.
And I don't know when Star Wars Celebration is, so maybe there will be something announced there. But we could ask our buddy Jay Shimko. Because
not Jay Shimko.
No, Jay Shimko.
He's a Star Wars person?
He's in the 501st.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And I know one of the guys on his podcast, Get Your Geek On, radio show podcast thing that they do. I know one of them is going to Celebration, Star Wars Celebration.
Wow, we have a lot of Jays that like
Star Wars. Yeah.
Two of them.
Well, because then there's Jay from An Elegant Weapon.
J-A.
J-A. Sorry. But yeah, so that'll be fun. Find out from those guys. I'll have to harass them and see which one A gets back to me quicker, and B gets me the more correct answer. That's, you know, I'm not looking for perfect. I just want more correct. speaking of other Star Wars surprises, George Lucas showed up at Midtown Comics in Manhattan last week and just randomly went in. Apparently it wasn't planned. If it was, it's the best kept secret ever. But walked in, he bought a couple Star Wars comics, signed a comic for some people. And but I think it's funny because he's going and buying the comics so he can find out what's going on in the Star Wars universe too.
That is kind of if I was a famous person, I'd kind of just do that random podunk town, take a couple of pictures with people.
Because yeah, Manhattan is the most well known podunk town.
Wasn't meaning as what the story is. I'm just saying if I was someone like that, I would go off the beaten path just. To lighten some nerd kid's day of, hey, Star Wars person.
The problem is, though, you show up at that random podunk town and people are like, whatever, liar. You're just a lookalike. Get the fuck out of my shop. Why the hell would you be in bumfuck Idaho?
True.
So, yeah, that I don't know. I thought that was kind of neat. Tony, what else did you have?
The Walking Dead spinoff, which hasn't even come out yet, is already picked up for 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely putting faith that this is going to be a killer, just like the regular Walking Dead. And
killer. Yeah. It's going to be a killer show. Excellent. Yeah, it's, you know, and nobody even knows what this is really going to be about yet. Now, you might be able to remind me a little bit.
No, I think I do remember hearing what it's going to be about.
Well, it's going to be on new characters and stories. So what I'm curious is this going to be one of those things where you see them go to places before the group that we all know got there, or maybe they get there after and kind of see the, like, you know.
Oh, you know there's going to be some synergy where in the regular Walking Dead right now, Rick and their crew sees like a smiley face spray painted on the wall, and this other show is going to be like before that, showing a little kid spray painting a face on the wall.
Well, what I'd also like to see is perhaps one of the past cast members that got killed that they didn't unzombie them, mm-hmm, by, you know, sticking something in their head. I'd love to see one of those cast members show up as a zombie.
Or, you know how there's always flashbacks, do like a flash forward, like in the new series. Because from what I remember, this is going to be set like right when the outbreak is starting, where, mm-hmm, Walking Dead is, it's already been happened. So this is going to show what people do when there's still a huge population that slowly turns zombies. But you have just a random person that you're following along, and that person, little girl, saying like, when I grow up, I hope I'm a rock star, but then they flash forward to a Walking Dead scene and just a zombie. Like,
oh, no, better yet. Like, the flashback, it could be that little girl that you see in season one where she's all like,
oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You see it's a cute little baby. You're like, oh, so, yeah, nice. And
we have so many hopes for her. All right.
Something that I find not... I don't think this is news, but it is news. But I think that the way that they're making it news seems like they're making up news.
Kind of like the way that you're talking seems like you're just making up stuff to say. Yes. What are you saying, Tony?
Okay, so Comic-Con 2015, Marvel's going to be a no-show there. And with a title like that and the way that the article is written, it makes it seem like Marvel is not going to be there at all. And really, you got to read between the lines. It's just Marvel Studios.
Yeah, the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. The Which movie is portion.
Kind of big, but also in light of how well it fucking does for itself, I don't think they really need to have a presence there to talk about anything.
Hey, you know what? I'm perfectly fine. I would actually be interested if San Diego Comic-Con went back to being a Comic-Con and not a media fucking circus.
But that's just how they are now, Derek.
I understand. But I'm old and I don't like change. And I'm crotchety and get off my porch and get off my lawn. This is mine now. So
maybe they are. Maybe they've listened to you. The makers of San Diego have said.
Well, they went to the future and they saw that Drunk on Comics rules everything. So they really started paying attention to what we're doing. No, The one thing, though, they did this a couple years ago, and then they made all their big announcements at New York. So since right now my current plan is I'm going to New York, that's fine. I mean, if I got
to
hang out,
so you go to a podunk town.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that tiny little convention in that podunk town called New York Comic Con. And nobody's really ever heard of that one before.
So nice to be able to give to the small crowd there.
It's got to give back to those small communities, you know. Shit, I'm pretty sure that, like, God, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a high rise there that has that has more tenants than, like, my entire hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure there is, but. All right, there's some stuff going on over at DC Comics that we need to touch on. A couple things. There's a new Batman book coming out, and there's also a new Robin book coming out. Now, I'm going to start with the Robin book, and it's the new Robin here. Oh man, of course now my technology wants to go. We Are Robin is the name of the new book coming out, and it's kind of like the thing with Batman's kid Damian being Robin, being young, has spawned kind of a little bit of a following, if you will, or you know, kids want to go out and they want to do their part to help clean up the city. That's a really cool idea. I'm curious though, is this going to be a book written for kids? Or is this going to be a book where it feels like it's written for kids, and then all of a sudden kids start dying, and you're like, holy fuck, why does it feel like somebody poked me in the ass with a hot iron? Because I don't know. Lee Bermejo is going to be writing that one, and it'll be really interesting to see. Now, the other book, did you see the all-new Batman?
Yes, and it's like RoboCop on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like RoboCop. It almost looks like he has, like, weird robot Bugs Bunny ears.
But I do notice a smoking gun as well.
Yeah.
Which, Batman doesn't use guns.
So this is all new Batman.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, there's one picture that we saw that Greg Capullo drew. Be very curious to see, but he sure looks, especially with those two little lights on his back, you've got a red light and a blue light, sure looks like a police officer to me.
Okay, so you're thinking maybe it's Gordon posing as Batman? Like something's going to happen to Batman and they need a new Batman? And
like what if he hurts his back? Like if Batman hurts his back and he needs somebody to come in with a whole new armored suit on to
that's exactly what I was thinking.
To take over for him.
But I was like, they wouldn't totally redo a story, would they? Comic books never do that.
No, and people never come back from the dead.
I just hope it transforms into something like the Batmobile or Batglider or something.
Or Optimus Prime. it's just Optimus Prime. Now, the other thing that I thought was kind of cool, though, is that there's a whole bunch of 8-page stories coming out, and if what I heard is correct, I think the We Are Robin is going to be one of them, where these are going to be available like on DC's website, Comixology, places like that. And I don't know exactly when it is. I think it's in May when these are coming out, that DC's going to have these. I think that's cool because you've got people like me who I've tried and tried and tried to get into DC, and I have a hard time sometimes. But if you go, here's a whole bunch of 8-page previews, maybe I'll find one that I really like. And I go back to DC, and I'll pick up, and I'll read a story arc or two, and then I'm like, I'm done for a while. I'll go and pick something else up. So right now, I don't have any active DC books. I don't have any active DC books right now. So this might be a good way for me to find something different, because I always appreciate them, but I they don't draw me in as well. So it is May. I did look. I've drank enough, but I actually did a little fucking research. So, yeah. Tony, there's some new movies coming out. One that you actually, both of these you filled me in on.
Yeah, so both of them I'm super excited about. One, I mean, it's just news that they're announcing that they're actually starting production on it, but that it's finally coming to fruition is Tron 3. Tron is a fucking series that I've loved since I was a kid, and when they finally made a new one, an updated one, made me happy, but then there's been no news of it since. And now Disney is now saying, hey, we're going to start greenlight some other projects besides the Marvel ones. Here's one of them. Have at it. And so the main characters are all on board. Hopefully Jeff Bridges is again, but I'm pretty sure he will reprise his role as Flynn. And that one, there's not a lot of news on it, just that it's coming out. But the biggest one that I found this week is the new Ghostbusters movie. And not the Ghostbusters movie that we know with the chicks. It's a Ghostbusters movie to do with Dan Aykroyd and almost, not the whole original cast, but kind of what has been envisioned and what has been talked about before Harold Ramis' death. Something that the studios and them have been talking about before is they've wanted to make Ghostbusters be a franchise. Kind of taking the thoughts of they're going to do a new movie with some of them, but show that there's other Ghostbusters teams around the world. Because not everything paranormal is just happening in New York, and not everything that's going on with Ghostbusters that they can fly around the world. That was kind of an envision that they had, and then from there, you could have any team of people be Ghostbusters and make this franchise work in any which way. That the studio heads, that Dan Aykroyd's involved with this, that they're going to try to make that. Channing Tatum is already part of the project. They're talking about Chris Pratt. I also seen getting part of the in the project as well. You're going to see a whole another set of Ghostbusters alongside the girl cast they announced, which makes me say, okay, I'll go see this girl movie now if it's going coinciding with, it's not replacing, it's not a reboot, it's a extended universe of it.
It makes sense though for them to do things like this where there's Ghostbusters in more areas, because I mean, you think about how small Manhattan really is and what kind of a podunk town that is. I mean, if you went to a big city, imagine how much more stuff would be there.
Well, I mean, the big thing about this too is, you know, they're getting these Ghostbuster corps to go around
they're the dead Ghostbusters?
Yeah, the corps, the CORPS is.
Yeah.
It works kind of.
No.
Kind of in that sense.
No. So you're getting the core, Dead Buster core.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go around and, yeah. All right. That, we'll take a peek and see what happens when that one comes out. A couple just really quick things. The podcast Comic Geek Speak, just wanted to give them a big, you know, lift of the mugs and cheers and congrats to those guys. They are celebrating 10 years of podcasting. So that's a really amazing thing, because podcasting is not easy. It's fun, but the time commitment is not easy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we do that, you know, I wish we had even more time to do to put into this. But
10 years is...
Yeah, I mean, we're creeping up on shit. Are we creeping up on 3 years or four? Three.
Is it? Yeah, three.
Yeah.
I think feels like 10.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, knowing you, it feels like, well, a long time. I can't count like you can't use words. So. but yeah, good job, guys. Congrats. Another note, and unfortunately we have more sad news this week. I hate to have to bring sad news, but it is important. Co-creator of The Simpsons passed away here, I think it was last week. As soon as this pops up, make sure. Yeah, it was here this past week. Sam Simpson, he was 59. He was fighting cancer. It's pretty crazy to see when you look at, like, you know, Matt Groening and Sam Simpson and what they created. Sam Simon. That just
blows. I was going to say, he said Simpson twice, but I was like, I won't correct you. But.
Sam Simon, sorry. It's just one of those when you see it. It's pretty amazing to see what they've done. I thought something was kind of cool. here in the one article that I saw about him is that in the last couple of years, one of the things that he's done, because obviously when you're a co-creator of The Simpsons, you probably have a fair amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've done very well for yourself. He's a big he was a big animal rights activist and didn't believe in confining animals into small areas when that's not what they really meant. So the last few years he's been going around and buying zoos just to set the animals free, or at least put them in like a preserve or something like that. I thought that was kind of that's cool. I like seeing when people really believe something and then they actually go out and they put their money or their work, you know, their hard actions into effect so that they can actually make a difference, not just sit and bitch about things. But all right.
Is that all the news you got?
No, I do have two others. The one, again, this is just a mention too, but you guys can go see it on our Facebook page if you haven't already, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, that was a really cool, awesome, and it was a nice little dialogue between the two. We need to stop calling him Robert Downey Jr. Just start calling him Tony.
Just calling him Iron Man.
Yeah, because is who his character is now. Iron Man will star in another movie of this, and this, but that's who he is in real life now.
It was great, but yeah, this little boy got a bionic arm that he's a big superhero fan, apparently, and they made his bionic arm look like an Iron Man armored arm, which was really cool. Go check it out. It's only a couple minutes, but you can see it there. We shared it from Robert Downey Jr.'s page himself. And then the last one that I have that I wanted to bring up here today is that China is getting its very own Comic-Con. And here's the downs.
Do they have one now?
Well, they probably have something there, okay. But Reed Pop, the guys that bring New York Comic Con, you know, that little one that we talked about, C2E2, New York Special Edition, these guys are doing the Shanghai Comic Convention. However, for as much as I love Reed Pop and I want everybody to support them, please don't book your tickets yet because it's the same weekend as Motor City Comic Con, which is May 15th, 16th, and 17th. And Motor City Comic-Con is at the Suburban Collection Showplace in beautiful Novi, Michigan. You can check more about them out at MotorCityComicCon.com. How do you like that? Seamless plug. But that's all. That's everything I had.
All right. Well, then what do you have for Indy?
Indy Turnpike this week. This one, now, I was surprised because I had another book that I thought was probably going to be the book that I was going to talk about this week. And what I was going to, what I am going to talk about is Southern Cross number one from Image Comics. This is written and the cover is done by Becky Cloonan. Andy Bellinger is doing the arts. Lee Loffridge is doing the colors. And this book is a futuristic book where your main character, a young lady by the name of Alex, is boarding a shuttle to go to Titan, one of the moons of Jupiter. And she's going there because her sister died in an accident there. She's going to recover her remains along with any of her remaining possessions.
They say, like, what kind, like a car accident or a space traveling accident?
Like, some kind of like reactor type accident, okay. I think is what happens here. This book surprised me for multiple reasons because they do things in here that I don't normally like because they're not done properly. I guess why I don't like them. However, I found out there's a lot of things that I can actually really, really enjoy when they're done exceptionally well. The first one, there's a ton of inner monologue. And I'm one of those people where I prefer a lot of times to see inner monologue. You don't have to go as in-depth. You can show a lot of stuff through the art if you're doing it well. This one, there's still a lot being shown and a lot of inner monologues, so you're actually getting, it feels like twice the story in the same number of pages. So I was really, really impressed by that. But the thing with Andy Bellinger's art, this is a very interesting one, because what pisses me off is when you have these pages that will be like a bigger splash page, or more importantly, I'm going to say it's probably the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8th page in the book. This is very interesting, because as it reads, you're reading in an S pattern down the book. So you're going left to right, then you're going down, and they do it in such a nice way where you see the characters walking down a ladder, and then now you're reading from right back to left, and then they go down an elevator, and then they're walking across the hallway that way. And so the actual movement of the characters through each minimal panel, otherwise, if you just looked at this, it would be a little bit more confusing on which order to read it. Fucking brilliant use of sequential art.
And it's kind of cool, because it's kind of telling you where they're going on the ship. Like, you could just have these all be lined up with one page panels, but you're getting a sense of space with this, that they're going down within the ship.
Yep.
So at least you know where they're going to, and that you can't just do that unless you have like a bunch of things that says going down everywhere in the background. So
yeah, and I mean they do it in a number of different in a number of different ways too, where this book doesn't read like a standard, 9-panel comic book, where it's left to right, left to right, left to right, new page. The panel layouts on everything were just really, really impressive. I found myself very impressed just overall by the actual layout and the mechanics of this book. Yeah, I mean, if you guys want to see a perfect example of pairing good writing with amazing sequential art and kind of showing you a different way of things that can be done in comics, it might not be the first time that this has ever been done, but it shows you how it should be done. So go give it a shot. Cool book. I'm not going to give a lot away here. There's not a ton to give away because it's still a lot of setup, but if I said too much, I think the kind of peeling back the layers of the onion on this character, Alex, wouldn't be as fun if I said something about it. So I'm just going to kind of leave it there. But that was my indie this week.
All right, Booze in the Book,
brought to you
by inkwhiskey.com.
Yeah.
Is a number one, which is also not a number one, because it'd be like 251, but Spawn Resurrection number one. You see Al Simmons is back. You don't know where he's been. And just like after a binger, it is paired with, because it's St. Patrick's Day, with a Guinness. Because both of them are dark and gritty, and with the last name Simmons, he's got to have some Irish in him, I believe.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
No.
All right. Well, that's what I had. That's what I drank and read this week. So that is going to be what everyone else should pick up and drink this week. Spawn Resurrection number one with a Guinness.
Cool. Just your standard old Guinness.
Yeah, just a Guinness.
Do you prefer? How do you prefer your Guinness besides pour down your throat? Do you prefer like the can with a little CO2 in it? Bottled or draft?
Any type of beer, I always prefer draft. But with Guinness, I like the cans more than the bottles. So that's how I guess I rate my Guinness scale.
Yeah. Okay. I was just kind of curious what you preferred. I have a I might have a silly one for another time, but I'll save it. So, because it's not really Irish, but all right. I guess that's going to do it here. Oh shit. We got to do some last calls, don't we?
Yeah.
I didn't have a ton this week. Just because for whatever reason, it just didn't happen, but there wasn't a ton out there that I really wanted to pick up this week. I was a little disappointed on that, 'cause there were so many books out, but just not a lot that I was like, eh, I'm really wanting that one. Walking Dead number 138 was it's a good one, and that was actually kind of a book that I was thinking about pairing something with, but well, I'll tell you that one off air. Star Wars number 3. I'm surprised that I'm still reading it number 3. Because a lot of these kind of books, I go, oh, yeah, read it. And then it comes out, yeah, I didn't care that much.
But this is the main Star Wars
book. This is the main one.
Okay.
I will probably keep continuing with Darth Vader. I don't know if I'll continue with Princess Leia after issue 2. It's going
to
depend on
Vader seems like the coolest one to get to understand. Because you don't understand him, because you didn't really ever get an origin story with him. I mean,
the thing I liked about the Vader book is you find out he's really angry. He's really, really angry.
If I was a whiny little bitch as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if your mentor cut off your legs and threw you into a volcano, probably piss you off a little bit too. But last one I had was Hellbreak number 1 from Oni Press, Cullen Bunn and Brian Cirilla, Dave Stewart on this one. Stewart's colors over Cirilla's art, holy fuck, Dave Stewart is a master colorist. And, I mean, there's some shit, Tony. I know you haven't seen this one yet, but I will show you just some of the shit that he did with the colors just fucking blew me away. So that's it.
All right, I am halfway through Howard the Duck, and it's what you'd expect, but kind of going on the whole nostalgia feel after reading Bill and Ted's. Ninjak number 1 from Valiant was great. And I have a couple other books that I picked up, but I haven't really been able to read them because it's been a busy week for me, so that's all I have.
All right. Cool. Well, guys, go check out MotorCityComicCon.com. Go check out it and see their full list. Pre-order your tickets. Plan to come see us. And then go check out Ink Whiskey. And you can take a peek at some of the flasks that they have available. I know we will have some of those available at Motor City. Somewhat limited supply. So, get there early if you want them. And you don't have to pay shipping if you buy them from us. So, all right, guys. Keep reading your comics.
And we'll be back next week. Talk to you about them then.
Maybe in some little podunk town like Manhattan.